I wish I could hear that from up here.
My. Well done, y'all.
There is a difference. If the lesson tonight has a title, it's that. There is a difference. You know, sometimes I think we take for granted who we are, why we are, what God's done for us, what he's given to us. Maybe we don't glorify his name enough. Because there is a difference in who you are today as opposed to who you are before your conversion. If that's not true, something is dreadfully wrong. Because there is a difference. There is a difference, and God has seen to that through his word that guides us and leads us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 talks about that difference. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Notice the word transformed. The idea that that word carries in the Greek text is, and the force of that word is much like the transformation from a caterpillar to a butterfly. It's a whole metamorphosis. The word transformed in this text has that idea of metamorphosizing from one thing into another. There's a difference. That difference takes place at conversion. When we're converted from one thing to another, just like that caterpillar to that butterfly, there's a whole change. And that's what the lesson is about tonight. It's more of a reminder to us and also a guide to us, because we all know folks who have not been through this metamorphosis yet. And I think the longer we talk about these things, the more often we talk about them, it reminds us to be aware that somebody you'll meet tomorrow or later on this evening or the day after tomorrow hasn't been converted yet. Or maybe they think they have and they really have not. Let's take a look at a few things. Conversion makes a difference because we have now a different mind, and it's due to belief. Belief will change your mind. Belief in Christ. Actually, when you come to believe in something, you've gone through a mental change already. If you didn't believe that that wall was white, and now you believe it's white, there's a change in the mind. So surely there's a change in the mind when we're believing now that Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when before we weren't too sure about that. Another change is a different heart. It comes about by repentance. Repentance just simply means I'm living my life a different way than I've lived it before. They use the analogy of a military group marching one direction, and the about face, they go then in another direction. Well, that's repentance. If I'm living my life this direction, if I have repentance, true repentance, I don't want to go there anymore. I want to live my life in this direction. This is God's direction. This was Satan's in my direction. So now that repentance causes us to have a different heart. Becomes a different allegiance. After conversion, we're allegiance with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. Before the conversions, our allegiances are with the world. Big difference in those two allegiances. There's a difference in a state. Once we're baptized, we've been forgiven of sins. We've been washed clean. It's like, you remember the Peanuts cartoon character, Pigpen? Remember him? The little kid that walked around with a trail of dust behind him all the time? That's who you were before you were converted. Now, you're clean as a white lamb, clean as a white-driven snow. Big difference, big difference. Don't we want all of our friends, loved ones, and the people we know to go through that different transformation into those different states? Sure we do. Doesn't mean they will, but we want them to. Look with me, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 21. Ephesians chapter 4 at verse 21. I'll wait till you get there. It's a good passage. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read from verse 21 down through chapter 5, verse 1. A little bit of a reading, but we can get through it. Ephesians 4:21, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed, there's that renewed word again, in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. If you put that all in a nutshell, there's some things we have to put off. There's some things we need to put on. We need to put off the old man, that worldly fellow, that one who was living in that wrongful direction. Put that old man off and put on the new man, the new person, that new converted creature. Lying goes away, and in its place is we speak truth. Anger goes away, and in its place we have self-control. Doesn't mean we don't get mad and upset every once in a while, but we learn how to control self and control the anger instead of just blasting someone when we feel the need. Stealing goes away. Let no one steal. He who stole, steal no longer. We want to be working with our hands, working so we can help supply others who need. And corrupt words, all manner of corrupt words need to be gone, and in its place comes the edifying. If you don't have something nice to say about someone or to someone, just be quiet. Hasn't that been said before? Surely there's some edification we can give to one of our brothers and sisters in Christ or someone we meet, even in a line in Walmart. We can edify folks just at any point in time if we have the right frame of mind, if these things have been put off and these new things put on. But it's said that Christians sin. And that's true. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves because we do have sin. And the truth is not in us if we make that claim. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. It's just a fact of life that we, on occasion, will sin. Brings up the question, if people in the church sin, and people out of the church sin, what's the difference? Everybody sins. Well, there is a difference. The Christian has been obedient to the gospel. The sinner, we talked about this morning, the alien sinner, has not been obedient to the gospel. And in that, there's a vast difference. One sins willfully, the other one does not. The one who has not been through that metamorphosis to put on Christ as the Lord of their life and been obedient to the gospel and been cleansed of their sins, they're still living the worldly ways. And I know you know these things, and I know that you don't have a doubt about what I'm saying is true, but again, it's by way of reminder, those things we keep them fresh in the forefront of our mind, and it means something to us when we leave today, maybe more than it did when we got here. And hopefully it'll stay with us for the remainder of the week, at least till next Sunday anyway. One sins willfully, the other one doesn't. Romans 6:18 calls those folks who have been cleansed slaves of righteousness. The reverse of that, the difference in that's been a slave of sin. Thus were all of us before we were converted. We were slaves of sin, the Bible tells us. 1 John 3:9, I love this passage because it throws so many people off. Read it with me. If you have your Bible, read it with me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Almost a circular reasoning. But what John's saying here, it's not that we cannot sin or absolutely have no way of sinning. The force of that, the language in the Greek, is that we choose not to sin. If I'm given a choice of committing a sin and not committing a sin, I cannot commit that sin because I know God won't like that. I know it jeopardizes my relationship with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And I know that I'll have to be repentant, I'll have to ask for forgiveness, and there's no way that I need to commit that sin if I forethink it. When we stumble, it's when we don't forethink. We just go blatantly into sin before we realize that we're involved in it. But when John says, does not sin, that's a choice that the Christian makes. Where the alien sinner doesn't make that choice. The alien sinner just goes right on with life as he chooses. The sinner willfully abides in sin, and the Christian does not. That's another difference. And let me back that up just a second. The bad part about that is that the sinner who willfully abides in sin a lot of times doesn't really realize and understand that they are willfully abiding in sin. That, I think, goes past our thoughts on occasion, that they don't know the difference. If they're not accustomed to the Word of God, if they don't know what's in this book, they might have heard it, they might not believe it, but they have maybe heard it before, but they still don't get it, that the light bulb hasn't gone off over the top of the head yet, and the reasoning hasn't set in, that I'm willfully sinning, and that's a problem. We still have to show that. We still have to make that truth known, because it is a truth if they're not Christian. One hates sin, the other loves it. God hates sin. We know that. When Paul says before, be like God as children, we need to do that. We need to hate sin because God hates it, because it offends God. Christians hate evil. We're told that, Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy and abhor what is evil. That abhor word is hate evil, detest evil. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is those three things: lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Those things are not of the Father, but of the world. People live in that direction daily, all day long, and Christians don't do that. Does that mean that we don't have a little lust every once in a while for things? No. But when we begin to understand that what I'm wanting is a lustful idea or lustful desire, we back off of it, because that can turn me away from being a Christian and having that Christian attitude. Sinner loves sin. Remember what Paul said about Demas back in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10? Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. We lose people from the church. We've lost people in the past from the church because they've loved the world. They've gone back into the world and now live as unfaithful Christians. They're still Christian, but they're unfaithful Christian. One tries to live above sin, in other words, and the other content to live in sin. We're saying the same thing. We're saying it in different ways. I say these things in different ways because sometimes you're talking to a person, loved one, friend, family member, and you say it one way and it doesn't click, and you say it another way, oh, I get it. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference how they perceive what you say. We're talking about that this very thing this afternoon in our little class after lunch. When we're talking with someone, they need to understand the thoughts we're trying to purvey in the same way we have those thoughts, if that makes sense. If I say you're a sinner and somebody takes offense to that, I don't mean it offensively. And they have to understand I don't mean to offend them by saying that. But if you tell somebody that they're a sinner, they're going to be offended unless it comes out in just the right tone, in just the right voice, with just the right amount of concern, facial features, the whole nine yards. One loves it, the other hates it. Philippians 3:13, Paul said, I've pressed toward the goal of the upward call. And anybody pressing toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus is not going to be one who sins on a regular basis. They're going to look the other way from sin. My goal is over here, not over here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. John says, and I like this passage too. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. He told us why he wrote the things he wrote. And the very next part of that verse says, and if anyone sins, knowing we're going to, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What a wonderful difference that is for those who have been converted. We have that advocate. He's there. He's there for us at the right hand of God, sitting there on our behalf to be the one that speaks on our behalf, on our part. Anytime we do wrong, anytime we're contrite, ask for forgiveness. He can say to the Father, I've been there. That's not easy to do. They know not what they do. Remember that? Alien sinner just keeps on living in sin, as we talked about before, and enjoys it, doesn't know the difference. One has a promise of forgiveness. The other doesn't. Big difference. A lot of folks don't get that part. Remember what Peter told Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, verse 22? Repent therefore of your weakness or wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven you. We're told countless times in Scripture to repent, pray, and confess. Repent, confess, pray. Pray, confess, repent. In other words, if we mess up, if we make a mistake, we have the difference of ability to say, God, I'm sorry, I offended you, and I hope you'll forgive me for that. And then we do our best not to commit the same infraction. The alien sinner doesn't have that ability. They don't have that ability to speak to God through the Son. The sinner, Peter says, has no hope. He says, in fact, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And again, people, your relatives, my relatives, our friends and folks, they don't realize they're doing evil. They haven't seen their life in God's eyes yet, brought alongside the Bible, and expressed to them how much difference their life is than what God would have them to live. One's dependent upon Christ, the other one's depending upon morality. Big difference. Big difference. We have hope in the grace of God. We have the blood of Christ that cleanses us from our sins. We have a promise and more promises from God that he will bring us home one day if we do as we should do. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and not that of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man could boast. Moral goodness will not save, never has saved anyone. We talk about that in our Romans class on Wednesday and Thursday nights. Without Christ and God's grace, all you have is law. As soon as you break the law, you stand condemned. There's no provision in law to give justification or forgiveness. Folks who don't have Christ, all they have is law. And God judges them one day just based on what they know and how they've lived without Christ. No one can gain the heaven's gates on moral righteousness. It just doesn't happen because we all break some law. As soon as we do something we know we shouldn't have done, guilty as charged. Your friends, my friends, our relatives, our loved ones are in that state unless they've been converted. Another reason for the lesson tonight, it's a serious thing to try to depend on moral rightness or moral righteousness to get to heaven. It's just not going to happen. One's headed for heaven, the other is headed for hell, whether they believe that or not. 1 John 2:17 said, the one who does the will of God abides forever. Revelation 21, verse 27 speaks of those only whose names are in the book of life will enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 7:13-14, we talked about that this morning, the narrow way and the broad way. More will find the broad way than find the narrow way. We know that, but we could sure help some of them get off that broad way and get onto that narrow way. The broad way leads to eternal destruction. Is there a difference? There is a difference. Absolutely is. Between a Christian and a sinner, the Christian's trying to live according to God's commands. The alien sinner simply ignores God's commands. Not the best scenario for the alien sinner. Folks, if we know someone who fits in that sinner category, need to go to him. Need to go to him soon. What if the Lord came back tomorrow and we didn't take the opportunity in the morning, first thing, to speak to one that we know is in jeopardy? And if we don't do that, we stand responsible. I don't know how else to put that. We need to speak the truth to our friends, loved ones, and relatives and keep these things in our hearts and on the forefront of our mind. Anytime there's an opportunity to speak God's truth, let's do it. Let's not pass the opportunity anymore. Put that in our work order. Put that in our job description. It's already in there, but we need to put it in there for our own personal job description. I need to speak God's truth. Jesus said he came to seek and save those who were lost. It's our job too. That's your lesson tonight. I hope it's been beneficial for you. If you're here tonight and there's a need for you to come forward for repentance purposes, for whatever purpose might be on your heart or your mind, we never know, but we always offer the opportunity for someone to come and be made right with the Lord. If we can help, if you need prayers, if you need forgiveness from the church, whatever it may be, now's the time. Today's the day while we stand and while we sing.